Listeners, as you may have heard, Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, is blocking Canadian access to all content created by news providers, including this radio station, in response to the Online Broadcasting Act. Access to local news and information matters to everyone, and while radio stations use their airwaves to keep you informed, we also use social media to share local news, events, and initiatives, and even content about our upcoming programming. We need you to write your MP and convey your concerns. Learn more and find a letter template for your MP on our website. Thank you for your support.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Fuel and diesel in the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital are starting to run out. If they do run out, patients in the hospital will die, and the hospital will turn into a mass grave because the operating rooms will not be functional.
The death toll in Gaza has topped 7,000 as Israel's bombardment continues for a 20th day amidst a deepening humanitarian catastrophe as fuel, food, water run out. On Wednesday, an Israeli airstrike killed the wife, son, daughter, and grandson of one of Gaza's most prominent journalists, Wael Dadu, Al Jazeera's Arabic's Gaza bureau chief.
There is no safe place in Gaza at all, and no one is safe. No one is safe from the aggression and the treachery of the occupation.
We'll go to Gaza to speak with one of Wael's Al Jazeera colleagues, and then to Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. We'll be joined by longtime Palestinian diplomat and scholar Hanan Ashrawi. Finally, UC Berkeley philosopher Judith Butler, who recently joined other Jewish writers and artists signing an open letter to President Biden calling for an immediate ceasefire. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli tanks invaded the northern Gaza Strip overnight in what military leaders are calling a targeted raid ahead of a much larger ground invasion. The incursion comes as Israel continues to bombard the whole Gaza Strip for a 20th consecutive day by air, land, and sea. The Palestinian death toll has soared to more than 7,000, including nearly 3,000 children. The UN's Refugee Agency for Palestinians, UNRWA, says it's been sharing its own dwindling supplies of fuel to keep life-saving hospital equipment running and aid deliveries moving. An UNRWA spokesperson asked the Associated Press, quote, "Do we give for the incubators or the bakeries? It is an excruciating decision," they said. On Wednesday, Oxfam accused Israel of intentionally starving Gaza's 2.3 million residents. Oxfam's regional Middle East director said, "The situation is nothing short of horrific. Where is humanity? Millions of civilians are being collectively punished in full view of the world. There can be no justification for using starvation as a weapon of war," they said. In a live broadcast on Al Jazeera Arabic Wednesday, Gaza bureau chief Wael Dadu learned his wife, daughter, and son had been killed in an Israeli airstrike. Dadu's grandson, a toddler, was pronounced dead just hours later, all of them killed by a missile that flattened a home where the family had been sheltering from Israel's round-the-clock bombardment. Another of Dadu's sons was seriously injured with a head wound. The family had fled Israel's bombardment of their neighborhood in the north to seek shelter in the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza, heeding Israel's order to 1.1 million Palestinians to evacuate southwards. Dadu was interviewed live on Al Jazeera shortly after learning the news.
"Do you think that your coverage has irked and angered the army of the occupation so that they could target your family? Unfortunately, everything is possible these days. All red lines have been crossed by the occupation army, and this is very probable."
The attack came as Axios reported Secretary of State Antony Blinken recently asked Qatar's prime minister to tone down Al Jazeera's coverage of Israel's war on Gaza. Al Jazeera is funded by Qatar and based in Doha. Hamas intensified a barrage of rocket attacks on central and southern Israel overnight. Israeli officials say most of the rockets fired from Gaza were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system, though at least six people were wounded. Two more attempts at the UN Security Council to halt Israel's assault on Gaza both failed Wednesday. A U.S. resolution called for a pause in violence to allow for aid to be delivered. Russia and China vetoed the proposal. A competing Russian resolution called for an immediate ceasefire. It also failed to pass, with the U.S. and U.K. vetoing it. Members of the Security Council are drafting a new resolution, while the 193-member U.N. General Assembly will vote Friday in a draft ceasefire resolution. There are no vetoes in the General Assembly. The resolutions are non-binding. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., White House spokesperson John Kirby acknowledged more innocent people will be killed.
This is war. It is combat. It is bloody. It is ugly. And it's going to be messy. And innocent civilians are going to be hurt going forward.
After more than 3 weeks without a leader, the House of Representatives voted 220 to 209 Wednesday to elect hard-right conservative Mike Johnson as Speaker. All House Republicans voted for Johnson. The Louisiana congressmember was closely involved in Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election, including voting against the certification of election results and leading the amicus brief in support of a Texas lawsuit that attempted to toss out results in four swing states. Johnson is a Christian fundamentalist who opposes abortion and LGBTQ plus rights. He's proposed trillions of dollars in cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. He spoke Tuesday after being sworn in.
I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us. And I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for this specific moment in this time.
In its first legislative business after a three-week standstill, the House overwhelmingly approved a resolution backing Israel and condemning Hamas. The vote was 412 to 10. As the U.S. refuses to call for a Gaza ceasefire, protests continue on Capitol Hill to put pressure on lawmakers. Dozens of American Jewish activists with the group If Not Now were arrested as they held sit-ins at the offices of House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic Whip Catherine Clark, and Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders. Activists sang "Ceasefire Now," "Not in Our Name," and "No Genocide" as U.S. Capitol Police placed them in plastic handcuffs. Senator Sanders said Wednesday he supports a humanitarian pause in Gaza, but did not say he supports a ceasefire, as activists are demanding. In Maine, a manhunt is underway for a man wielding a high-powered military-style assault rifle who opened fire in a bowling alley and a bar restaurant in the city of Lewiston Wednesday, killing at least 15 people, wounding as many as 60 others. Maine's public safety commissioner has ordered residents to shelter in place with their doors locked.
And police are currently searching for a Robert R. Card, 4-4 of 1983 of Bowdoin. Card is considered armed and dangerous. He is a person of interest, however, and that's what we'll label him at moving forward until that changes. If people see him, they should not approach Card or make contact with him in any way.
Robert Card is an officer in the Army Reserves and a trained firearms instructor. Police say he recently reported hearing voices and threatened to shoot up a National Guard base. He was committed to a mental health facility for 2 weeks over the summer, yet continued to be allowed to use his guns. Bates College is about 4 minutes from the massacre site. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been 565 mass shootings across the United States this year. In Philadelphia, a judge reinstated all charges, including murder, against a former police officer, Mark Dial, who shot and killed Eddie Irizarry inside the car during a traffic stop in August. Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner reissued the criminal complaint against Dial after another judge dismissed the case last month. Body cam footage shows the officer shooting Irizarry 6 times at close range, even though he did not appear to pose any threat. The United Auto Workers has reached a tentative deal with Ford 6 weeks into a historic strike against the big three automakers. UAW President Sean Fain announced the breakthrough Wednesday evening.
For months, we've said that record profits mean record contracts. And UAW family, our stand-up strike has delivered.
The agreement, which still needs to be approved by rank-and-file union members, includes pay hikes totaling over 33% when cost-of-living adjustments are factored in. It also includes wins on pensions and job security and could serve as a blueprint for the ongoing strikes at GM and Stellantis. And in Montana, white nationalists have been charged with vehicular homicide in the March hit-and-run killing of Micah Westwolf, a 22-year-old woman and member of the Blackfeet tribe. 28-year-old Sunny White, whose children are named Arian and Nation, also faces drug possession and child endangerment charges. Her children were reportedly in the car at the time that she crashed into Micah. White was released from jail on Sunday after she posted bond. Speaking to Democracy Now!, Micah Westwolf's mother, Carissa Heavyrunner, called the arrest a bittersweet moment for the family and for the campaign for missing and murdered indigenous women after prosecutors took months to bring charges.
We just want the system to administer justice impartially without favor or bias, and that race is not a factor in following the rule of law. People who commit crimes need to be punished in accordance with the laws they have broken. In this case, this person killed my daughter. She was only 22 years old.
And to see our coverage of Micah Westwolf's killing, visit our website, democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. We begin today's show in Gaza, where Palestinian authorities say the death toll from Israel's 20-day bombardment has topped 7,000, including over 2,900 children. On Wednesday, an Israeli strike killed the wife, son, daughter, and grandson of one of the most prominent journalists in Gaza, Wael Dadu, Al Jazeera's Arabic Gaza bureau chief, who's been described as the voice of Gaza. The Israeli strike on the Nuseirat refugee camp killed at least 25 people in total. Dadu's family had fled to the refugee camp in central Gaza after Israel ordered residents of northern Gaza to vacate their homes. Al Jazeera condemned the Israeli attack, describing it as a, quote, indiscriminate assault. Dadu learned that his family members had been killed while live on air. The network aired dramatic footage of Wael at the hospital's morgue where the bodies of his dead wife, son, and daughter had been taken. He was still wearing his press flak jacket. Moments later, Al Jazeera's senior political analyst, Marwan Bishara, spoke on air to condemn Israel's killing of civilians.
This is much more than an incident. This is a crime, a deliberate crime. The Israelis are targeting civilians. The Israeli president said there are no innocents in Gaza. Well, here it is, Mr. Herzog, the president of Israel. Tell me if these children are not innocent. When you say there are no innocents in Gaza and everyone supports Hamas, I want you to tell me, you who this crime is in your responsibility. This genocide has been called by Israeli president and Israeli prime minister, enabled by the leaders of Western democracies.
That was Al Jazeera's senior political analyst Marwan Bishara speaking after Israeli airstrike killed the family of his colleague Wael Dadu. Wael also spoke to Al Jazeera Arabic from inside the hospital.
There is no safe place in Gaza at all, and no one is safe. No one is safe from the aggression and the treachery of the occupation. That's why we have left, we have delegated our fate to Allah Almighty, and we will continue this path that we have chosen at the end. This is a profession of troubles, whatever you want to call it. And Allah the Almighty, I hope that Allah the Almighty would bestow patience upon us.
During the coverage that you did over the past few days depicting Gaza being targeted, you stayed here steadfast. Do you think that your coverage has angered the army of the occupation so that they could target your family?
Unfortunately, everything is possible these days. All red lines have been crossed by the occupation army, and this is very probable. However, here we want to say for the record that when we carry out our duties, we do it to the fullest with high professionalism. In the middle of bodies and the injured, and in the middle of destruction, we have a professionality that they would need eons for them to meet that professionalism. So we work everything that takes place on the ground, our camera would capture without any fabrication and without even exaggerating. We are not exaggerating. What's happening is truly big, and the coverage has to be big as well.
Finally, if you would, although that's reality now, would you pursue legal action to prosecute the occupation for murdering your family?
Let's see what happens after the surgeries that some of my family members are undergoing, and after we bury our dead, and then we will talk about this matter.
That was Wael Dadu, Al Jazeera Arabic's Gaza bureau chief, speaking through a translator just after an Israeli airstrike killed his wife, son, daughter, and grandson. The killing came on the same day that Axios reported U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken had recently urged the Prime Minister of Qatar to tone down Al Jazeera's coverage of Israel's bombardment of Gaza. We go now to Gaza City, where we're joined by one of Wael Dadu's colleagues, Yumna Al-Sayed, a correspondent for Al Jazeera in the Gaza Strip. Yumna, welcome to Democracy Now! Please accept our condolences on the deaths of the family members of your colleague. Could you explain what you know about what happened and where exactly his family was killed?
First of all, Wael, like many of us, like thousands of Palestinians who got the order to evacuate from the north and from Gaza City to the south, heeded that order and moved his family to the south, to Nusayrat refugee camp. And when I say refugee camp, it means I'm talking about a very densely populated area with homes very much adjacent to one another. A place that just hosts thousands of homes and civilians and armed civilians. This is where Wael kept his family, in another home or a family home there. They were hosted, the entire family, his wife, his kids, his nephews, nieces, everyone. He stayed in Gaza City to report from Gaza City, where most of our crews had headed to the south to report from Khan Yunis in the south. But as you've seen, as the whole world has seen, the bombardments were relentless every single day in the south. When I say the south, I mean Khan Yunis in Rafah, for people who don't know. I mean Nusayrat, I mean Al Brej. All these days since the evacuation order, not one day, not one hour, these places were not targeted. Homes were targeted. Hospitals were targeted. In these same areas that people were asked to evacuate, hundreds of families who had evacuated from the north and from Gaza City were killed in those bombings. When we say there's no safe place in Gaza, we're not lying. We're not being biased. We're not exaggerating. The north, Gaza City, and the south, they're all just the same in terms of bombardment, in terms of targeting. And in all the life conditions, it doesn't mean that they're asking people to go to the south because there is a better life condition in the south. There's water in the south, or for example, there's electricity, or there's drinking water that you can buy, or you can find bread easily. I just want to ask one question. Why did they ask us to go to the south?
Yumna, earlier this week, the Israeli government approved, quote, emergency regulations that would close broadcasters thought to be acting against the, quote, security of the state. Is Al Jazeera the only network broadcasting live from Gaza? I mean, CNN has a reporter there. He files tape reports as he, too, with his children, is fleeing the bombardment. But in terms of the live stand-up reporting, is Al Jazeera alone?
Yes, it's Al Jazeera alone. And I want to ask, how does Israel or the United States describe Al Jazeera to be biased? Because they say this. They say that Al Jazeera is biased. They say that Al Jazeera should lower its tone on its coverage on Gaza. Why are we getting these orders? Is Al Jazeera showing something that is not happening? Is Al Jazeera filming a targeting or a bombing or those thousands that are being brought to the hospitals or hundreds that are being kept under the rubble or civil defense crews that dig with their hands and with no resources? Is this not a reality? Is Al Jazeera saying that there's no water and there's no electricity in Gaza and there is? Is it saying that there are no networks in the mobile phones and there are? Why are we getting these orders? We're getting these orders because we are broadcasting what we really see. We're neutral. We're not showing one part against the other. Didn't you hear Al Jazeera say that there were rockets launched from Gaza? Every time there are rockets launched from Gaza, don't our correspondents in Al Jazeera Arabic and Al Jazeera English say that there are dozens of rockets launched from Gaza? They hit places in Israeli towns. Sirens were heard. Injuries in Israeli towns were conducted. Don't we report that? We're not biased if we only report what is happening on the Israeli side, but we're biased when we report what is happening on the Palestinian side. Is this what we have learned in journalism schools around the world? Is this how we're supposed to be neutral and objective? Is this the image that we should give our audience who trust us?
Yumna, in 2021, Israel leveled a 12-story building in Gaza, housing the offices of Associated Press, Al Jazeera, and other media outlets. Israel justified the bombing by claiming Hamas had been using the building but offered no proof. Israel gave media workers inside advance warning of the attack, telling them they had just 1 hour to evacuate, refused to delay the airstrike when journalists begged for more time to recover personal items, cameras, and other equipment. The head of Al Jazeera called the attack a blatant violation of human rights and war crime. Associated Press said it had no evidence of Hamas operating the building. Last year, Israeli forces shot dead a Palestinian-American journalist, Shireen Abu Akla, as she was covering the Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank. Can you talk about what the calls are for the U.S. government, which provides so much of the funding of the Israeli military, to make demands now? They've been pushed into calling possibly for a pause. They're not calling for a ceasefire. But this issue of journalists and civilians dying in such large numbers, at this point, I think the number is 24 journalists, 3 Israelis, 20 Palestinians, and 1 Lebanese cameraman from Reuters.
In 2021, I had an interview on your show. It was on the phone. Maybe that's why you don't remember me. And I told you clearly that this was a targeting against journalism and against media, all media offices in the Gaza Strip in the 2021. were completely destroyed. All buildings hosting any media office, including Al Jazeera's and the AP's, were leveled to the ground. I myself, I survived a car accident, or let's say, I don't even want to say a car accident. It's not, because it was a targeting of another jihad, Islamic jihad wanted or something in a car. And he wasn't, by the way. It was, they just assumed that he was. And I survived that targeting miraculously. I almost died in that attack. The United States claims to be a democratic state. It claims to respect all rights. It claims to be a civilized nation. What is the correct description of these words for the United States? What did the United States do when Shireen Abu Akleh was killed, and she is a Palestinian American? Did they stand up for her? What did they do when our bureau and AP's bureau were bombed, when the AP is an American agency and there was no proof of any Israeli claims until this day? We're in 2023. The United States, it's clear to the whole world, to you Americans, before any other nation, supports the benefits of Israel despite all realities, despite all proofs, and despite any claim of democracy, or rights. The United States only supports what Israel says. Even if the entire world sees that this is not the truth, it will continue standing next to it. And I can't respect a nation saying, or a government, I'm not going to talk about the American people, because I know that not all governments represent their people. But how can I respect a government that sees all these violations and claims to be a supporter of human rights and democracy and stand still, not doing anything?
Yumna, I'd like to go to a clip of you live on the air on October 7th, at the moment when Israel bombed a tower behind you in Gaza City.
Yumna, please take cover. If you are in a position to do so safely, you can explain to us what we're happening. If you are not in a position to do so safely, yes, then please get to safety.
No, it's okay. This is a missile attack on Palestine Tower, right in the middle of Gaza City.
Yumna, take a moment to breathe. Take a moment, you and your team. Take a moment to breathe.
So, Yumna, okay? That was just on October 7th, the day, of course, that Hamas carried out its attack. So if you could describe the scene, what was the scene then in Gaza?
Can you believe that that missile that you saw in front of you was just a warning missile? This is how the people of Gaza get warned before they are completely bombarded. That strong and powerful bombardment that you saw in front of you was just a warning missile. I was standing normally. I didn't even feel that it was danger where we are. We're on the rooftop of our bureau. It's perfectly a safe place. We take safety precautions first because we don't want to risk our lives. We don't want to put our lives in danger. But can we, no matter how much precautions we take, can we push that danger and risk away? Was Wael able to protect his family? Am I able to protect my family? Is anyone in Gaza able to protect their families? We're not. We're under constant fire. We're under constant bombardment.
Yumna, we thank you so much for being with us. And yes, we do remember you from 2021 on the phone or when we can see you. Your reporting has been